Welcome to Valley Podcast. Valley Christian Church is located on Cedar Avenue, just south of Apple Valley. To learn more about our church and how you can get involved, go to valleycc.org. Here is the latest sermon in our current teaching series.
We've talked about making room for intrusions because, frankly, being a Christian means all kinds of interruptions. It means all kinds of changes in your life. We talked about accepting authority. We've talked about having to believe things that go beyond your ability to explain them. We've talked about all kinds of things. And tonight, the theme we have for tonight is making room for the light. And that's such a simple idea that you should be relieved. You know, he can't go too long on that, can he? Making room for light. Never underestimate. You know, Christmas is one of these, it's kind of unusual because, you know, we sing about light and, you know, people put, you know, lights up on their houses. You know, I used to do that and then everybody else was doing it and I thought, fine, I'll just look at their lights and I'll just put some evergreen up on my house. It's much easier. But Christmas is kind of a strange combination of darkness and light, you know. I think that's one of the reasons I like some of the old paintings by, like, Rembrandt. You know, because when you look at a nativity that Rembrandt paints, there's certainly this concept that light has come into the world. But do you see how much darkness? You know, that it's almost as if he had in his mind that line from the first chapter of John where the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness cannot comprehend it. You know, and that's how Christmas is kind of for me. That's how Jesus is kind of for me. You know, I believe in him. I embrace the gospel. And I have experienced light. But the world is so dark sometimes. There's so much darkness. And I feel it. I bet you do too. You know, we sing a lot of songs around Christmas and we hear even more. You know, I don't know. Christmas is like the only holiday in the year where it's like there's an unwritten rule that we must be inflicted with every song ever written for the occasion. You know, I mean, and that's books and books of them. You know, I mean, so many songs, so many words. And some of the songs we know we could quote them right now, like Hark the Herald Angels Sing, right? You know, we could quote that. But some of the songs we know best, we've gotten to know them so well, we can quit thinking about them. And especially if it's some of the later verses, you know. And Charles Wesley is kind of famous for the text of an old carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And in that text for that carol, he says, Hail the heavenly Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Notice how Son is spelled. Right? Like a blazing light. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings. You know, one of the texts that Mike Hamilton read tonight was that prologue to the Gospel of John, where he says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Charles Wesley, I'm going out on a limb, he knew he had John 1 in mind. Light and life to all he brings. Risen with healing in his wings, mild he lays his glory by. We might want to argue on the mild part. You know, I don't know if Jesus was so mild. Sometimes I think you need to turn that M upside down. It's pretty wild that he would lay his glory by to be with us. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. And if you know the Gospel of John, you know, if you're singing this hymn text, you're going to think John 1, light and life. In him was light, life, and the life was the light of men. But you're also going to, if you know John, you're going to think John 3. Because that's where Jesus talks about being born again. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. And Jesus talks a little bit about life and light in John chapter 3 as well. Because the occasion of John chapter 3 is when a man named Nicodemus comes to him at night. Because Nicodemus was wrestling with who Jesus was. And Jesus has a little fun with the fact that Nicodemus came at night, and he talks about, you know, there's some things we do in the dark, Nicodemus, and there's some things we do in broad daylight. And we're going to see that. I want us to just quickly look at a couple of verses from the first chapter of John, a couple of verses from John 3, and just make an observation for you and me. First of all, like Wesley said, light and life to all he brings. You know, the verses 4 and 5 says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. See, that's the promise of Christmas, that there can be light. You know what darkness is, right? You're from Minnesota. You definitely know what darkness is, yeah. But you know what I mean when I say darkness, the metaphorically, you know, darkness in the world, the pains, the losses, the hurt, the sin, the injustice that's in the world, right? And we need to understand first and foremost that, you know, Jesus didn't just come to be a nice example or to say some enlightening things about God. You know, according to the Gospels, according to the apostles, according to what we read in the scriptures, Jesus came on a mission. And the mission was to dispel darkness. So if we're going to embrace what Christ is doing in our life, are you with me here? If we're going to embrace what Christ is doing in our life, what should we expect him to do if we make room? To start dispelling darkness. And this is one of the reasons we don't like to come to him. Because if we don't turn on that light, if we just keep that door closed, we won't have to deal with some of this darkness. But light and life is what he came to bring. And we should expect that when Jesus comes into the world, and when Jesus comes into our personal lives, and when Jesus comes into our families, and when Jesus comes into our church and into our community, that there's going to be some scurrying. There's going to be some pushback because Jesus is in the dispel the darkness mission. Okay? And so we need to recognize that is his mission. And we need to recognize that that's who he claimed to be. You know, who called Jesus the light of the world? Does anybody remember? Jesus did, yeah. Self-reference there. Later in the prologue to the Gospel of John, John writes, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And he was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. What does that tell you? What does that imply? It implies that you can have light available to you and fail to recognize that. Have you done that? I've done that. That there's something in my life, there's some darkness that Christ could work on, but I don't acknowledge it. I don't recognize it. In fact, I reject it sometimes. How about you? And so it's one thing to say, yes, that's Jesus' mission, to dispel the darkness and to bring light. But it's another thing to recognize that in a way that says, I embrace it. The scriptures say that he came to his own and they did not recognize him. In fact, they would not receive him. in John, the third chapter, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. And by the way, the Gospel of John, one of the great things about the Gospel of John is it's one of the Gospels that actually tells us why it was written. If you get to the end of the Gospel of John, it says many things Jesus did that were not recorded in this book. But these are written that you might believe, and that in believing, you might have life. You see, when John writes that prologue and he says, light has come into the world, if we read through that gospel and read it again with the end of the gospel in our mind, where we know he's trying to get us to believe, he's trying to persuade us, he's trying to get us to recognize who the light is, right? And so when we get that picture in mind, then we go back and read the introduction. Have you ever done that in a book before? Where after you've read the book, the next time through, you read the first chapter, you go, oh, there's all kinds of clues in here. That's what John does. Because he's writing, he wants you to believe. But right in the prologue, he says, not everyone will. He wants you to find life, but right in the prologue, he says, some people refuse to recognize it and refuse to see it and receive it. They won't make room for it. And when Jesus talks to Nicodemus, he says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. You know, Jesus wasn't sent here to spy on you and then label you and condemn you. Jesus was sent to save the world, to bring you out of darkness. Jesus says, whoever believes in him, and of course he's talking about himself there, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And then he goes on to say these words, this is the verdict, this is the true judgment. Okay? Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light. You know what? That's the story of many of the sad chapters of my life. That's the story, that's the key phrase of many of the sad chapters in your lives. Light has come, but we like darkness better. Light has come into the world, but we prefer to keep the door shut and the light off. He says, why? Because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. In other words, it's just a nice long way of saying, when you live in the light and you live in the truth and you embrace the light, you don't hide in the shadows. You just live your life right out in plain sight, right in front of God and everybody. So it's plainly seen who you are. When I was a kid, they used to have these, you know, like sometimes these gospel preachers would come, you know, they talk about, you know, like they'd scare the hooey out of me by like, what on Judgment Day, you know, there's going to be a movie, or, you know, I'm like, oh, come on, please. That cannot be. You know, like, you know, God's got secret cameras. You know, and that's just a terrible thing to tell a kid. But the idea of saying, you know, we ought to live our lives in a way that it wouldn't matter who's watching, that's a good thing. That's what it means to embrace the light. And so, brothers and sisters, friends, family members, neighbors, tonight, the challenge of Christmas is, do we love darkness or do we love light? Are we going to hold on to our darkness? Are we willing to let Jesus dispel, drive away, push away the darkness and bring us into the light? A very important day in my life happened just a couple days ago. Actually, just yesterday. It's called winter solstice. and something wonderful happened today. Barely noticeable, but there's a little more sunshine today. There's a little more light December 24th than there was on December 23rd. The word solstice comes from the Latin, which means like the sun standing still. Because when it's this time of year, the sun, like when you get around the 21st to the 23rd of December, the sun just barely comes up, you know? And if you stood out there and said, is it going to rise? Is it going to come up? Nope, it's just standing still. That's solstice. Sun standing still. Some people say that, you know, Christmas, you guys, you know, and your Christmas, you Christians and your Christmas, you don't you know that the pagans have been celebrating solstice for millenniums before the Christians came along with your December 25th? You know, the pagans have been celebrating solstice, you know, with their Yule logs and all their lights and all that stuff. That's all stuff that predates Christianity. You guys just co-opted it. You know what I say? Uh-huh. And it's brilliant. Do you know why it's brilliant? What a fantastic metaphor for the gospel. I mean, I think it's great that Christmas is December 25th, not because it's really the day of Jesus' birth, but because, especially if you live in Minnesota, for crying out loud, on December 25th, there's a little more light than there was the day before. And on the day of Jesus' birth, there was potential, there was a little more light in the world than the day before. And some people want to argue about what day was Jesus born on. You know, the day of the actual calendar date of his birth? That's not so important. That's not as important as the day you recognize him for who he is and say, today, this day in my life, there'll be a little more light today. If you'll have a little personal solstice, if you'll stand still and recognize that it's time to turn around and let the daytime get a little longer and let the darkness be a little shorter. That's the important day. You know, I looked up Jesus on Wikipedia, and you know what? The guy was born 4 years before his birthday. 4 BC. That's tricky. He really must be the Son of God to do that. Actually, it's some poor little monk had a clerical error, and it's been off ever since. And there's people that, well, you know, what? We don't even know what year he's born. You know what? The year, the actual year of Jesus' birth, that's not important. What's important? What's important is, will this coming year be the year there's more light for you? You know? Is this going to be another before Christ year for you? Or is this going to be the year that you embrace Christ and say, this year more light, please? You know, sometimes you get scholars together, and if you get enough scholars together, pretty soon you can't know anything. Because there's too much conflicting data. Scholars will even argue about the place of Jesus' birth. And I'm sure there's a lot to argue about. That's fine. Doesn't really matter to me. You know what the place that really matters? Is he going to be born here? Am I going to make room? Is this the place where we love light? Or is this a place where I'm going to love darkness? I pray, friends, that you and I can help each other embrace the light, to see Jesus for who he is, and to come into the light together.
Thanks for listening. If you value our podcast and the ministry of our church, please consider making a contribution. Just point your browser to valleycc.org and click the Give Online button. To get complete podcast and archive information, look under the Resources tab on our website. While you're there, look around to find lots of other helpful resources. If you have comments or questions, send us a note at podcast@valleycc.org.